So there was a huge righteous man. His name was Rabbi Avraham Abulafia. Rabbi Avraham Abulafia was a huge, huge mikubal that was meditating and reaching very high spiritual levels in his Jewish unique form of meditation. Thing that he was doing was, it's called in the ancient language of the Hebrews, it's called Gilgul Otiyot. He was rolling the letters. Let's say that he would take the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and he would want to meditate on that name. So he would roll that name in circles for a very long period of time, and by that creating a spiral of the letters Yud, and then thinking on the next letter Hey, and then the next letter Vav, and then the next letter Hey, and then again Yud, and then Hey, and then Vav, and then Hey, and again and Yud, and then Hey, and then Vav, and then Hey, and thinking about them and bringing them to run like that in circles in his mind, focusing on the letters. If he would, let's say, for an example, would want to focus on a certain prayer, like the most simple prayer of them all, please Hashem help me. Chaim, can you see over there? I have a pile of printed prayers that I gave once in one of the lectures in Manhattan from Kabbalistic classes that I gave. So, for an example, if you want to pray this simple prayer, Bore Olam, the creator of the universe, Ten li le'amin becha, let me believe in you. So also you can translate that to English. I'll show you that. And we can also post that on the comments on Facebook page. So you have a certain prayer. You can roll those letters in your prayer. Simple prayer. Bore Olam, Ten li le'amin becha, the creator of the world, let me believe in you. And then you just aim those words in circles. You just write them in your mind. The creator of the world, let me believe in you. The creator of the world, let me believe in you. The creator of the world, let me believe in you. The Chida HaKadosh, one of the known and most famous righteous people that knew, that the world ever knew, from the wise people, Chachmei Sfarad, he wrote the name of Rabbi Avraham Abulafia in one of his books that is called Sefer HaGdolim, the Book of the Greatest Ones. So by mentioning his name over there, he made it clear that Rabbi Avraham Abulafia and his method was accepted and established by the tradition of our ancestors. Now, Rabbi Avraham Abulafia, he was a person that went through a lot, a lot, a lot in his life. He suffered in many, many ways, and he had a huge yetzer hara. And he said on himself, he admit on himself that the yetzer hara was failing him, forcing him to fail in sins, in violations. And he was failing, he was falling. He was doing things that because of his respect, I will not repeat them, even though that he mentioned them and wrote them in his books. But he failed with very severe sins that he himself admits that in his books. And even though that he failed on those, he still was one of the greatest ones. The Chida HaKadosh is testifying on his greatness. So you can see that a person can reach high levels and to rise and to climb the heights and still to fail in certain things that a human being will not even imagine to himself that it is possible to fail in those things while holding such high levels. Think about King David. King David for us is something that we all want to admire and to love and to praise and to say, no, King David, he's the king of Israel, he's the eternal Messiah. We know that He's the one who walks with Hashem hand in hand in the Garden of Eden. He's our Savior. He's the salvation, and it's a known thing. It's a fact. No one is arguing on that thing at all not. But still we know that He had a certain failure in His life that left us all in shock with our mouths open. We don't know what to do with that. We all heard what happened with David ben Ishai and with the woman Bathsheba and with her first husband. And we heard stories about King David sending her first husband to the war for him to die over there because King David wanted to marry Bathsheba. So the Chachamim, the sages, they didn't wanted to for us to have any foreign thoughts against King David. So they explained to us that from the side of Halakha, from the side of the Jewish rule, there was a certain way to justify the act of King David, because that the first husband of Bathsheba was supposed to die because he was not following King David's orders, and therefore he was supposed to die. And that's why King David, based on halakha, based on Jewish rule, sent him and his verdict to death, to the war, to die over there. And not before that, he made sure that the husband will sign up for an approval that if he will die on the war, his wife will not be a widow for good, and that she will be able to get married again. So even though we understand that King David was covered by the halakha, that the halakha is protecting his action, still, a normal person will not like an act like that, right? But the Ari HaKadosh is telling us in one of his conversations with Rabbi Chaim Vital, his main student, that King David was not judged at all on that sin. And that is written in the book Sha'ar Gilgulim L'Ari HaKadosh, for the Ari HaKadosh and Rabbi Chaim Vital. That Rabbi Chaim Vital wrote that book, and from his conversations with the Ari HaKadosh. And over there he said that the Ari HaKadosh told him that King David was not even judged on that sin. Why? Because, not because it was not a sin, not because that he did not do it, not because it was being justified by the Jewish rule, the halakha, no. Just because that it was predicted for him, they knew from heaven that he will fall in that failure. And that failure was a must for his process. He was not able to complete his path from the place he came down to the world in the secret of earlier lifetimes, where his soul came down to the world from, to become a king without that crash to the left. And the Ari HaKadosh is explaining that in Sha'ar HaGilgulim, that in the secret of the soul of King David, that came down from the soul of the first man, Adam HaRishon, that it's a known thing that Adam HaRishon gave 70 years of his life. He was supposed to live 1,000 years, and he gave 70 years of his life to King David, and he lived only 930 years on earth. And King David lived only 70 years. Those were the years that he received from Adam. And by the secret of the soul of King David, that came from the soul of Adam, and crashed down to this world from the children of Ruth, that she was Moaviyah and converted, and he came as Ben Gerim, as a child of converts, and there was a huge conversation and argument in his generation if he was allowed to join the nation of Israel or not, because of certain rules of for converts. If converts are allowed to join the Israeli nation if they're coming from Moab, because Ruth, she was Moaviyah, Ruth a Moavit, and there was an argument if there was a permission to convert Ruth or not, and in the end, there was a psak, and the psak, the decision, was that you're not allowed to convert Moavi, a male that comes from Moav, but Moavit, a female from Moav, you're allowed to convert. So that was the conclusion. But like in every argument and argue and debate, you still have two sides. So in the generation of King David, the argue was huge, was very severe, and still there were very wise and important rabbis in his generation that disqualified the conversion of Ruth, his grandmother. And therefore they claimed that King David himself was not even Jewish. And when King David came out to the world, he was under that huge question mark, a doubt on his Judaism, on his connection to the nation of Israel, if he's Jewish or not, if he's Israeli or not at all. And with that approach, with that life theme, he came down to the house of Ishai. And in the house of Ishai, King David had to be rejected by all the siblings, by all the brothers, and he suffered greatly. And he spent all of his childhood sleeping in the barn, in the goat's pen. He was not allowed into the house at all. And he was a shepherd and left and lived his life in solitary, all alone, divided from his family. All of his siblings, all of his brothers were mocking him and abusing him and not allowing him into the house because the way he looked, because the way he was talking, because he was King David. And after a while, when he came out of that poverty and won the battle against Goliath, and he was supposed to get married with the daughter of the king, with Michal, the daughter of King Shaul, the King Shaul refused to keep his promise to him, and he had to run away from Shaul, and Shaul chased him, and he had to go through so much sorrow and so much pain, and he had to run to the desert and to hide himself and to hide from his enemies and from Shaul, the king himself, the king of Israel, that started chasing him, and on and on and on. And after all that sorrow that he went through, suddenly the prophet came to him and crowned him to be a king, the king of Israel. Suddenly Shmuel the prophet is crowning him and telling him, listen man, you are now the king, the legit king of Israel. When Shaul was still alive, when Shaul was still the king, he was still alive, just that Shmuel the prophet took away his kingship from him because of certain violation, that he did not follow the order of Hashem to kill all Amalekites in a certain war that they lived in, that they experienced, and he, Shaul the king, did not follow Hashem's commandment. Therefore, the prophet Shmuel took the crown from him and went and crowned King David. So in one day, King David, from the lowest place of them all, after having such a great pure soul, the soul of Adam himself, a pure one, without more like coverings and outfits, a pure soul of the first soul of Adam, came into life to huge, horrible life of doubts and poverty and rejection and darkness, suffering and pain, now being chased by his siblings and the kingship of Shaul, he's now being crowned to be the king. Suddenly, everything went to the opposite direction. If you take a vehicle that is driving from the right, that's the root of his soul, very, very sharp direction to the left, and now you want to bring it back again to the right. He started in a holy place as the soul of Adam, and then he had to go through the root of Ruth, the convert, Ruth Moavia, that came from Moab, and then over there to live life of sorrow. It's all in the other side, it's left, it's dark over there, and suddenly, boom, you became a king. The king of Israel, it's not a regular king, it's not the king of, it's not Burger King, it's something great, right? It's a big king, it's not something small, it's not something minor. So from that complete darkness, bang, to the other side, he becomes to be the king of Israel, the Messiah, the ruler of the world. Now, in that place, what happens to a vehicle that takes such harsh turns? To balance himself, he needs to take another left. That's the explanation of the Ari HaKadosh to Rabbi Chaim Vital in the book Shara Gilgulim. I'm not making up those things. We can open those books and I can read the same things for you from that book. I may be opening it a little bit more for you to be able to sense it, to feel it. But those are quotes and lines that are written from speeches of the Ari HaKadosh to his main student, Rabbi Chaim Vital. When Rabbi Chaim Vital confessed in front of the Ari HaKadosh that he's suffering from angers and problems in his character, Ari HaKadosh told him, you don't need to be harsh on yourself. You need to be positive with yourself. Because in heaven, they're not judging you like you judge yourself. They understand you that you fail in anger. They understand you that you struggle with your lust and your desires. It doesn't permit those things to you. But they don't see it with the same negative and criticizing eye that you are checking and judging yourself with. So King David, even though that he failed in that failure, he was not judged on that failure. Because it was obvious that after you go from the right side so harshly to the left, and then again, boom, to the right, that for your balance, you're going to have to take another left. And then that left will balance you. So he had to fail in that failure with Bathsheba and her first husband for him to go back on track. And if you cannot understand it, this is why it's written that mysterious are the ways of the Lord of God. And we need to believe in that. And when you go through your hardness, and when you go through your hard times, and when you go through difficulties and darkness and pain and sorrow and grief and hours of loneliness and crazy despair and thoughts of anxiety and pressure that you're freaking out, you're losing your mind, you're about to die, you think you're gonna explode, you're thinking in suicidal way, you wanna lose yourself, you wanna go, you wanna melt. Don't judge yourself. Don't criticize yourself because you're playing to the hands of your evil inclination. You need to be positive and to believe that a person like you that is experiencing so much must be in a very high level if he's still holding on. Because to hold on in this world, it's hard. I'm telling you, it's hard. I'm working so hard and I worked for so many years on my purity and on my holiness and on my learning, and we still struggle with simple things, exactly like you do. My family and I, my wife and I, my children and I, we're struggling. You think that we like licking ice cream from sunrise to sunset? We are facing life. We're struggling. We're trying to figure out what to do. We still have issues. We're dealing with things. We're trying to find time for all the important things that needs to be done and make sure that all the things that we're dreaming on will come up to life and we'll find a body to carry them forward. And all the things that a person goes through in life, that's our mission. And we're in it to win it. We're in it to succeed. We're in it to climb the highest mountains and to cross the driest deserts and to swim the largest sea, the ocean, and not to be scared from the depths and from the whales and from the elephants and from the lions and predators and eagles in the sky. We're just going to do our job, holding ourselves as much as we can to the tzitziot of God, to the cloaks of honors of the Creator, and just going to go with the truth and never surrender and never go back and never reject yourself. Never let the poison of black bitterness, sadness and depression knock you down to the ground. And if you fail, stand up back on your feet and say, I'm starting again. I don't care. I couldn't care less. So I lost my wallet. So I lost my mind. So I lost my house. So I lost my wife. So I lost my whatever you lost. Go back on track and rebuild life. And when you do that, you are crowning the Creator back on His creation. And with time, we will see great results. Because already we see great results. Because we are the result and the outcomes of huge wonders and miracles that took us out of the gutters from the lowest place of hell. Where did we came out from? Huge people can't understand how we rise to those levels. If you would understand the holy level that you can reach by putting your mind into serving the Creator with honesty, by just simply being honest with people, truthful, loyal, nice, kind, you would be amazed from your true potential. Don't let your depression and your low self-esteem kill your passion. As higher as you get, the tests are getting harder. And the fact that you're facing huge challenges doesn't mean that you're weak, that you're soft. You might be delicate, fragile, and gentle, but it doesn't make you soft and weak. You might be a poet in your spirit or an artist in your soul. It doesn't make you far from the truth, just more gentle and closer to the purpose of being spiritual and wise. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi Dror. First question is, so why do we have to do tshuva for those sins that God is compelling us to do out of our character?
Because that is the truth, that you need to come back to Hashem from those places. Even if you've been sent to those places, you still need to go back from those places. Even if Hashem now, let's say that I took your head down to the mud and your faith now is filthy with mud and disgusting filth, do you need to wash your face? Now, the fact that I did it to you, does it change the fact that you need to wash yourself? No. So the fact that Hashem put you in that situation, does it change the fact that you need to go out of that situation? No. You need to come back to Hashem, right? So come back to Hashem. Say to Hashem, Yitbarach, look, the Creator, Master of the Universe, I love you, but I have that feeling like you wanted me to be in that place, but I understand I need to do tshuva, and I regret. I'm sorry. Is it too late now to say sorry? You can sing it to Hashem. Sing to Hashem. Is it too late now to say sorry? And apologize and do tshuva. And tell Hashem, please Hashem, don't fail me anymore. I don't want to suffer anymore. I want to be healthy. I want to be good. I want to be stable. The fact that He sent you to that filth does not change the fact that you need to come back from it. So come back. Make a huge comeback.
Thank you. So in a sense, we don't live life. We actually experience it.
One second. And excuse me. To complete the answer, also King David himself did tshuva. When he was rebuked by Nathan the prophet, Nathan HaNavi came to him and told him the tale of the sheep of the poor man, that he had one sheep and then the wealthy person came and killed him to take the sheep. So
he
asked
him,
So King David said, so Nathan HaNavi asked him, how would you judge that king, that wealthy person that took that sheep away from his owners, kill the owners for the sheep? He said, I would kill him. Ben mavetu, that's a person that should die. So Nathan HaNavi told him, it's you. You're that one. What King David did? Tshuva. He said, you're right. He said, you're right. And he went and did tshuva and said to Hashem, Itbarach, Atati, Aviti, Pashati, I sinned, I messed up, it was me, I supposed to die, I must pay for my sin. That's the way. It's the honest thing to do.
That's true. Very strong.
Go ahead. Do tshuva, bro. Yes, second question.
Second question is, somebody says that they live with somebody that that's elder, like their mother, elderly, and they're very negative and they have to be in the house with them because of their certain living situation.
Mm-hmm.
How do they find happiness throughout their day when every single day they have to experience something very dark?
You must find ways to go out of that darkness and to spend more time out of the house. But in that time that you go out of the house, you need to be productive. For an example, you need to go for 30 minutes outside of the house, and in that 30 minutes, you need to connect yourself to Hashem. You need to do it bodedut, you need to talk to yourself, you need to meditate, you need to do some spiritual thing. If you're in the house, you can open YouTube, you can open Facebook, you can see junk videos over there on social media outlets, or that you can watch wonderful videos that will inspire you and will connect you to life. So you're going to choose what to do with your time when you're in and when you're out. When you're in with your mind and when you're out with your mind. So choose properly to attach and connect yourself to the Creator momentarily, every moment of your life, and you shall be redeemed.
Amen. Thank you very much, Rav Dror.
No last question, please. You should ask.
Okay.
Let's say I'll ask what a person should do when he's willing to be honest, when he wants to do tshuva.
Should I answer?
And he doesn't find the power to do that. Like, he doesn't know how to start even. Like, I messed up so much in my childhood. Like, where should I start? What should I do? Like, where do you start your tshuva process if you know that you messed up? Like,
speaking to God about it.
What does it mean? So Rabbeinu said, you need to speak to Hashem like you talk to your best friend. Really, you just need to be honest. If something is overwhelming you, you need to say to Hashem, listen, Hashem, this thing is overwhelming me. If you want to do tshuva on something and you don't have words, you need to say to Hashem, Hashem, I think I need to do tshuva on it, but I can't find the words. You need to be honest when you're talking to God. You can, okay, I'll do tshuva, I'm going to say Tehillim. No, you say Tehillim when you say Tehillim. There is no connection between doing tshuva and saying Tehillim. No connection. You want to know what is the connection between saying Tehillim and doing tshuva? That the Tehillim over there, it's written that King David was doing tshuva. There are words of tshuva. So they has the power to inspire you to go to the fields and do tshuva on your own. That's the only connection. That will not cover you for doing tshuva. You're not doing tshuva while doing Tehillim. You need to go and talk to Hashem and tell Him, I'm sorry. I apologize, I messed up, I didn't mean to hurt him, I didn't mean to hurt her, I didn't want to do that, it was my weakness, my fears, they overpowered me, and I lost my mind. Is there a way to fix? Please fix me, give me a solution. Honest words will bring you in the fastest way to the highest place that your heart desires. Bang, you made it.
So it's very important for people to put down their cell phones and get off their computers and literally just sit there alone in a comfortable room at night or outside and just speak to God.
Terrifying, huh? Terrifying.
It's terrifying.
Terrifying. Put your phone down, for an hour. Nah, man, are you crazy?
Put the phones down. Put 1 hour a day. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we have to.
Yeah. Let's start. Let's start trying. Let's try.
Thank you.
Thank
Rabbi
you,
Joe.
Guys. Thank you, everyone.
Everyone.